There is no roadmap for setting up a truth commission or a path to guarantee its success. That's the view of Priscilla Hayner, who has researched several truth commissions around the world. So, how does one gauge the success of South Africa's Truth and Reconciliation Commission? Journalists who have covered the beat from day one will probably say that the commission's greatest success is the face and voice it has put to apartheid. The public space and recognition it has given to the scarred faces and broken voices of victim, perpetrator, and ultimately survivor. Angie Kapelianis asked the Truth Commissioners what they regarded as their greatest achievement.
I think in a way the greatest success is just that it happened, that we've spent these years listening at last to people's stories and experiences of what happened during those years.
Mary Burton.
It's easy to describe it as part of the telling the truth, but it's more than that. It's the fact that the country saw fit to give proper attention to what was done in the past.
The Truth and Reconciliation Commission concept was not taken out of any textbook or theory.
Dalla Omar.
It is a product of South Africa's negotiated settlement and transition. It has been a human story filled with tears, filled with sorrow, filled with agony. It has been a story of a people seeking to establish their humanity and their dignity.
The people who spoke, the people who listened, the people who tried not to listen, but in a way were forced to do so. And so it drew in all the citizens of this country, whether willingly or not, into the process.
All parties agreed to the TRC as a non-violent way of purging the nation from the moral filth that its politicians on all sides got us into.
Radio listener.
It was meant to be a truth commission, but now that the chickens come home to roost and all the main protagonists are found to have blood on their hands, it is no longer a truth commission, but it is now biased and inaccurate. If the TRC complies with the wishes of the PAC, the ANC, the NAT and the IFP and delete all the truths they've found, then the entire TRC operation, Desmond Tutu et al., lose all credibility and the nation still awaits accountability for all the human rights abuses perpetuated by all parties in the past. We want justice, but if we can't have justice, please let us have the truth in writing.
I think the Truth Commission has been far more successful than even the legislators had imagined it would be. I think that is its greatest success.
Dumisa Ntsebeza.
We have had to ask for extension after extension precisely because the work has been overwhelming. We have had hearings, we have had amnesty applicants far in excess of what was expected. In a way, we are embarrassed by our success, and our success has been the response. So to me, that is the single most important way in which I can say the commission has been successful. It has been successful in meeting the expectations of those who put their trust in it.
Let me take this opportunity to commend the Truth and Reconciliation Commission for the magnificent work they are doing to realize their mandate.
Nelson Mandela.
We did not expect their work to be easy, and we are struck by the impact they are making, for theirs is a process that hurts as much as it cleanses. I take this opportunity to place before Parliament the recommendation that the cut-off date for amnesty be extended to 10th May 1994.
The hearings have been our greatest success, and obviously some hearings have been more successful than others, but I think as a generic item.
Wendy Orr.
The opportunity for victims, perpetrators, members of institutions and various businesses to speak in public has certainly been our greatest success.
During my period at the Star, I not only openly did military camps as an SADF infantry officer, but also served as an official undercover intelligence agent of a security branch of the SAP.
Craig Kotzer.
Did I spy on my journalistic colleagues? Did I deliberately manipulate my reports or suppress news? The answer to both is no.
For me, the biggest success for the Truth Commission has been it has enabled 22,000 people to come and tell their stories.
Faisal Rundera.
Those stories went out to the country and all the people of the country, forcing people to acknowledge what had happened in the past. And the fact that there has been that public process, that television, radio, newspapers became so centrally involved in the whole process, and people were able to listen live often to what victims were saying, I think it has played a very big role.
Bishop Tutu has left the gathering of the Truth and Reconciliation Commissioners and he's moving up onto the stage. He's going to be lighting the single candle which will start the proceedings. It's a large white candle with a red cross emblazoned on it. And Archbishop Desmond Tutu lights that candle.
To really get people from different perspectives and communities talking about the past in those broad terms, I would say that's in a way a miracle.
Klingiwe Mkize.
Because we remember when we started, for instance, there were groupings who were saying we're not going to cooperate with the structure, and we picked up those voices from different constituencies. But I should think what.
And then we had to go through a long inquest, and we were bruised by it, emotionally and physically.
Nyami Goniwe.
And I guess we had high hopes as well. And I remember when the finding was announced, we were sort of disappointed. The second reluctance was over not knowing what is it that was going to happen here. But now that I'm here, I'm just humbled by the experiences of the others. I'm happy to say that I'm happy that I came.
The commission was put in place as part of the tender bridge to help us make the transition from repression, from evil, from ghastliness to democracy and freedom.
Desmond Tutu.
And I think it has succeeded to a very considerable extent. And really, it's the people. Our greatest resource is our people. They're fantastic. I mean, when you can hear an Afrikaner father say, as Mr. Smith said, after his boy had been killed, an 8-year-old, he was saying, if I am angry at all, I'm angry with the previous government.
I told the newspapers that I thought my son was a hero because he died for freedom.
Johan Smit.
Kan ek maar oorslaan Afrikaans? Vir mense wat onderdruk was.
Everybody just branded the ANC as terrorists and never saw the other side of the coin. I would also never have realized this if I didn't have my own business and saw with my own eyes how these people really struggled. They had to buy a small amount of.
Sometimes we take too many things for granted. Maybe that is our greatest failing, that we don't appreciate the wonder of who we are and where we are and just how God has blessed us. And those moments when we respond to the grace of God, we are unstoppable.
I think when this thing started, I was very apprehensive that it would be like holding a party that nobody would come to.
Richard Lister.
And I think the fact that ordinary people came to this commission, for me, really was its most dramatic success. Just that it did what it was intended to do. It provided a forum for ordinary people who'd suffered, who had been tortured, who'd been locked up, whose families had been killed, It provided a forum for them to come and tell us about it.
I opened the window. I heard the voice of Sfiso.
Zamaswazi Mkize.
I said, but why are you killing my father?
Why did you kill my dad?
Why did you kill my dad? What has he done?
I went downstairs to inquire about this shooting. On the stairs I fell. And I was affected at the spinal cord. I was now crawling. Sfiso was red. He was cuddling his father in his hands. People stopped me. They didn't want me to come very close to him. And after that, I collapsed.
Just to hear the anger, the sadness, the wretchedness, the tragedy of the lives of ordinary people was incredibly important. And I think that'll endure, and it will be the Commission's greatest success.
Very early on in the life of the Commission, we had made a very conscious decision that throughout the apartheid years, the voices of victims were silenced, particularly, quote-unquote, the small people.
Glenda Wildskut.
And so we made a decision to consciously elevate those people to a position deserving of their suffering. And for me, that was truly a wonderful decision. And just the appreciation that people expressed at the hearings, in letters to us, in phone calls and other communications, for me, validated the fact that that was appreciated. So that for me was...
Thank you very much. You don't know how much all this has meant to me or it means to me.
Sheila Masote.
We rarely kiss with my mother. We rarely hug. But we have started, and today we've done it in public. And thank you very much. Okay.
The one important thing is that the Commission has created a platform for a lot of people who would otherwise not have been recognized for what they had done, what they had suffered.
Denzel Potgieter.
In the process of the liberation and liberating the country.
And yet, I often find myself back in the dungeons of solitary confinement, ready to take away my life for no explicable reason.
Joyce Rankin.
This all happens without any conscious thought on my part. I hate it when my mind brings those terrifying memories, but my mind just does it for me. It was orchestrated to destroy me.
One of the Truth Commission's great success is to discover the people who got lost and the families did not know where they were.
Khoza Mgojo.
Until these perpetrators wanted to have amnesty, they had to make a disclosure so that exhumations could be done, so that the families could know what had really happened to their loved ones.
We want to know what happened, what eventually happened to him.
Buyile Zungu.
How did he disappear? Where did he go to? If he's alive, we want to know what kind of life he's living, where he is, how he's living. We need him, we miss him. If he's dead, we would like to know when did he die, who killed him, when and how.
Whilst we knew that things were happening in the country, I think the surprising thing is that none of us knew the extent of what had happened, or in fact how many people it had affected.
Yasmin Suka.
I saw people cry when they were allowed to unburden that, you know, and unlock that from themselves, because I think for so many years people have been carrying around these stories. And an example for me is Mr. Tladi, who is now dead. He was a veteran of the 1960 resistance campaigns, and he spent time on Robben Island. And for more than 40 years, he walked around all closed up. And he came to the hearing and he said, I can now die in peace because I have been able to talk about what happened to me. I think for me that's the crowning achievement that the commission made possible.
The disclosure of truth is for me possibly the greatest achievement and accomplishment of the commission.
Alex Burain.
I think that we have uncovered factually now, in a very profound way, from oral tradition, people sharing their experiences, either as a victim or as a perpetrator or as both.
I have taken this opportunity to speak the truth and to express my torturing regrets about wasted years and my shame about a mean and petty past.
Piet Mogoi.
I regard myself today as a disgrace to my mother, my family and my relatives, my friends and the families of the Pepco tree, and the nation as such. It is with my deepest remorse that I ask for forgiveness. I say it now, here, today, as I could not have done so in the earlier days, for obvious reasons. I thank you.
Now we can confirm what the state was about, what the liberation forces were attempting to do, and I think to get that behind us gives us a solid foundation on which to build a society which will never really allow this to happen again. I've always felt that you can't really have reconciliation based on the unknown or the distorted or the deceitful, that you really have to come to bedrock. And I think that's what the Commission has done, and it's been a very liberating experience for me personally.